Thank you, John. Well, I'd like to say good evening to all of you. We're so thankful that we can be together tonight because the Lord is desiring to do a very special thing. He will do it kind of to you and through you tonight because there will be people who are to be brought in as part of this company that don't even know we exist, but they will come to at some point realize that they too have received something new from the Lord to produce something new in the earth. But hopefully, those of you who are with us, God will help me to give you the understanding regarding the beauty and the power of this very special gift. So please turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 1. I've asked John to read the scripture for me tonight so I can save my voice just for speaking what can't be read. So he'll do that. So we'll be communicating back and forth. But chapter 1, verse 11, and chapter 2, verse 1. So go ahead, John.
Amen. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere and fear your name, your nature, and attributes. And prosper, I pray you, your servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was cupbearer to the king.
Go ahead, John.
In the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad before his presence, in his presence. So the king said to me, "Why do you look sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." Then I was very much afraid and said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should I not be sad, faced when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and its fortified gates are consumed by fire?"
Go ahead and read
the king
verse
said
4-2.
To me, "For what?" Is that it?
No, verse 4-2.
The king said to me, "For what do you ask?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to him, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you will send me to Judah, to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may rebuild it."
Okay, thank you. The Lord wants to release upon a group of people that he's raising up. I mean, the nation at large will not know who you are or what makes you different. But the important thing is that God will know, and so will the angels that are being sent out to work with you in this prayer responsibility. And those who are partnering in this will probably also recognize you. So he wants us to talk about this tonight. There is this place that God has reserved for a select number of people. I have no idea how large that company is, but they are his cupbearers. They are those who will serve wine to the king in these special cups that are ordained for this kind of interaction. And this wine that they will serve to the king is the wine that is not only given for intercession, but that empowers to enable the rebuilding of the ancient cities, the rebuilding of the waste places, the rebuilding of what has been broken down, that it may be raised up again unto the Lord. You say, well, gosh, America doesn't really have cities like that, does it? And the question is, yes, we do. And the Lord started talking to me about this reality, that the day was coming, he would destroy entire cities in virtually a day. And some of the cities that have been destroyed have been destroyed in a day. Those cities that fall under this category are those who have made themselves useless to the Lord. They had no respect unto his holiness. The city by and large was corrupt to the core. And I can assure you that cities that experience that, the Lord moved those who needed to be put into a place of safety out for the time of the execution of this judgment. But those whose hearts were hard against God could not be redeemed, could not be provoked unto righteousness under any circumstances. God had done everything he could do to prepare them to enter into allegiance with our Lord Jesus Christ, and they just continually refused his encouragements and went their own way. But God is now raising up a group of people that he calls his cupbearers. And these cupbearers are people that have been given privy to the ear of God and to the heart of God. He will speak to them in the quiet places, that he will not tell another living soul against he will not tell another living soul the things that he will tell these spiritual cupbearers. And these cupbearers have such a trust in the heart of God, meaning, well, of course they trust him too, but the important thing maybe is that he has aligned himself to trust them by the heart that they have proven to have before him day after day after day. These are people who do not consider themselves above another. They are people who will never lift up the light of their countenance to be praised, to be worshipped, to be idolized by people, but they are humble people. They are people he's been preparing, some of them, for years. Others maybe didn't need as much work, and so it hasn't taken as long to bring them in to walk side by side with those that it did. It really doesn't matter how long it's taken. What matters is every heart has been prepared for tonight. The Lord may not have spoken to you that something was going to be given to you, a special gift. Yet here you are, online, listening, waiting, anticipating what he's going to give, so that you can work with him. There are people who are his intercessors that he loves very much. He loves them very, 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 very much. They're very special indeed to him, because intercessors, they're very sacrificial people at heart. They want nearness to him. They want him to receive glory, not themselves. And they have an excellence of character because of the work that he's done in their heart. So he loves his intercessors. But there are those who were created for this hour to be part of this company, the company of the cupbearers, that he was going to use in these last days to do very, very special works with him concerning heavenly things and things in the temporal. Let me read something that I had the privilege of writing, because it sure depicts his heart, and the Lord asked me to share this with you tonight. And then we'll go on from there. The one who takes the evening wine to the king, who is the cupbearer. And the evening wine, as I said, is the spirit of prayer. His royal, loyal cupbearer, whose wine the king loves to drink. This one is a modest burden bearer. In other words, humble, meek, lowly. Do not consider themselves more highly than they dare or than they ought. No burden too light, nor heavy to bear. This is the heart of the burden bearer. The king must but summon him, and his lofty request becomes his servant's greatest joy. It is the bearer of burdens that the king delights to honor. Joy unthinkable and full of glory is the heart of a true servant of the king. This servant alone knows the path trodden by the king. He knows where he lays his head at night, and he knows where he meets the grand council during the day. He knows him well and honors all his words that proceed from his mouth. And then the question is asked, are you one for whom he looks, that is such a one of noble birth? May Jesus be glorified in the path where your sandals meet the way. If you are well trained in being a burden bearer, there is no such thing as specific and only specific hours of prayer. You are one that he knows he can call day or night. And you're going to awaken, you're going to respond to the call. Just let me give what is going to seem to some a very ridiculous example, but in the end it turned out to be profound. I was sound asleep when suddenly I was awakened to a noise in my room. And the noise, the voice of the one speaking, said, "Look, look there." And as I turned in the direction that I had been appointed to look, I saw a vision being played out. And in this vision, I saw a man flying like a Lear jet, which is a jet that perhaps a company would buy or a very wealthy businessman. It's a small jet. It's not an airplane. It's a jet. He's flying this jet, and he's flying across the heavens, but low across the heavens, not high. And above him were searchlights all around him, but the searchlights never hit that jet. They just seemed to flash all around him. And no matter where he was, somehow he managed to avoid being spotted by those searchlights. And then I was taken deeper into the vision, so close to this man, I could see every detail of his face. And I said, who is this man and what is he doing? And then I was told what his name was. I was told that he was running drugs that were being used in the streets, feeding young people, that people had even died as a result of his business. And I said, how do you want me to pray? He said, the Father wants you to pray that he will spare his life. I gulped, and I looked, and I was confused. This was many, many years ago. Today it wouldn't have confused me, but then it did. Why does he want this man to live if what he's bringing to port is going to be responsible for killing youth? I didn't ask the question. I just knew I needed to obey. He said, so obey that his life be preserved. Pray that his life be preserved. So that's how I prayed, and I kept praying until I saw him land his jet. Several days later, I'd been invited to a home of a Christian. The man and the woman were Christians, and they were both in the ministry. And we had sat down at the table. I sat down in the seat I was instructed to sit down in. And this man walked through the door. He was running just a little bit late, and he was instructed to sit at the head of the table. I looked up to smile at him when I saw this man was the man I had seen in my vision. I'd gotten so close up, remember, that I could see his features. And I thought, why am I sitting at the table with this man who just days before was running drugs? I didn't say it, but I wondered it. We all sat down at the table. We started to eat, and as we were preparing our meal to eat, I looked over at him. He's sitting next to me because he's got the end seat, and my seat was the first seat on the side. I looked at him, and I said, I know who you are, and I said his name. And the look that he gave me was kind of cocky. And he was actually a relative of this group. I said, I know your name. And so he said, and he's cutting his meat. And he said, well, yes, I'm sure they told you I was coming. I said, no, we knew nothing. You would not be with us today sitting at this table had I not spent the night praying for you. He looked at me with sheer shock. And I said, and you were running drugs. You were flying what looked to me like a Learjet. And what time was that supposed to be happening? So I gave him the very time that I received the vision. He said, "Who are you? Don't worry, I'm not a law enforcement official. I'm a minister. You are alive today because an angel told me to pray." He put his silverware down, and he didn't pick it back up until we were done talking. I said, "I saw that you were running drugs, and I saw that youth would be taking some of those drugs, and it would cost their life. You deserve to die. You were being looked for, and I saw searchlights moving across the heavens looking for you. But they couldn't find you because I was praying for you." I won't go through the whole conversation because I'd have to end everything else I was going to say. But before that meal was over, he had a bag that he kind of kept wrapped in his arm. I guess he thought he was going to eat the meal with the bag wrapped right beside him. But I told him, I said, "I know the money is in that bag. My suggestion is you put it on the table so you can be pacified at knowing that everyone that sees it are people that care about you. But I need to be able to talk to you, so will you please put that on the table?" The minute he did that, something happened inside of him. I saw it on his face. Make a very long story short, he gave his life to Christ that night. When he repented for his life of crime, I've never heard such a repentance in my life. It was beautiful. I was so thankful, and this couple continued to keep in touch with me for quite a while as this man made progress. I don't, of course, know where he is today or what he's doing, but I do know he completely turned his life around at that point. This is what I'm talking about when I say you're willing to give up sleep if the Lord asks you to. You may not have a vision. You may not know what important thing you have accomplished through your obedience. But I know, at least for my prayer life, I pray more at night when everyone else is sleeping than I do during the day. So, but one who is a cupbearer, it doesn't matter to them when they're called, only that the Lord would find them worthy of the call, knowing that they will always say yes to him when it's time to say yes. These people will be given secrets no one else will know. And when they receive these secrets, they will pray and pray according to the instruction of the Lord. And as they pray faithfully, things will begin to happen. Things will begin to turn that could not have happened had they not prayed. As they continue to show themselves faithful, the Lord will increase the anointing upon their life and the authority so that they can accomplish more and more to the glory of his name. As I said, you know, this intercessor is a person of humility. So they're not going to walk into a crowd and say, "Hey, everyone, I just want you to know I'm here. I am an official cupbearer. If you have a prayer that needs to be prayed, now pay attention. If you have a prayer that needs to be prayed, just write it down on a piece of paper and hand it to me, and I'll give it to the Lord myself. That's not the kind of person they are. But they will answer whenever the king calls. And when the king calls, they will not give him excuses or justify not responding, because their heart joyfully responds, even if it's very inconvenient to respond. I can remember hearing Johnny gosh, this is many years ago, decades years ago. Pardon me? Yes, yes, yes. Johnny Erickson. This was, you know, after her accident, she'd given her heart to the Lord. She was in ministry, but she was a quadriplegic. And at one point, she had a very bad virus, so she was very sick. And she couldn't sleep. So she said to the Lord, "Why am I laying here awake? My body needs rest, Lord." And he said, "Because I need you to pray tonight." And she spent hours in prayer to him over the thing that was on his heart. That, I'll never forget her telling that testimony. Because out of maybe the millions he could have asked to pray, he chose Johnny. And she did pray. And the Lord honored her prayers. Prayers that are offered up at times like that are special sacrifices to the Lord. It doesn't matter what title you have. It only matters that you've obeyed and you sacrifice to obey. So the Lord will honor you in the courts of heaven for your obedience. He may even honor you in the temporal world, depending upon what it is that he's asked you to pray over. It may not be a situation where you are going to be where you're going to be released to tell the whole world that you sacrificed. But she was trying to make a very, very important point, and he released her to share that. But these people are special to God, handpicked by Christ himself to come into alignment with him, to walk in the graces of humility, meekness, joy, love, and one that will bear the sacrifices of the burdens. And tonight, before we hang up this phone, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for all of those that have been ordained to receive of what he wants to release tonight, because this is something new he's giving, and he wants to give it especially to you. You're going to help him open the door for this blessing to come upon those selected in the church and in the life of intercessors to bear it. So with that, thank you for coming. I can't wait until this comes to you tonight. I'm so excited.